Turning now to Scripture, we just heard Jamie read basically the Scripture passage. And it's always amusing and interesting, not necessarily amusing, but interesting to hear how various authors translate or interpret scriptural text. And I know that the dad's group, or it's my understanding the dad's group yesterday had a quiz about what is in the infancy narratives in the Bible and the gospel. So as I read the passage from Luke this morning, I invite you to pay attention and notice when or even if an innkeeper is actually even mentioned. Jamie mentioned that the innkeeper was sad. As I read this, let me know where you hear the mention of an innkeeper. From the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Did you catch the innkeeper there? Inn, but no innkeeper. But anyway, what we're going to do this morning, with it being not only the fourth Sunday in Advent, but also Christmas Eve, we're all about singing familiar and beloved Christmas carols. So I thought we'd do something a little bit different this morning. Have a little bit of fun, I hope it's fun, talking about a couple of carols, and notice in them there is perhaps a message in the music. That is, beyond the affirmation of the birth of Christ or the acclamation of praise of God or for coming to earth and being born in a manger, beyond the theology and words of praise, there may be a message particularly relevant to the author or to the times in which a carol was written. And then we'll even consider and listen to an updated version of perhaps the most popular Christmas carol of all time, Silent Night, which the singer-songwriter has composed based on a story about Silent Night arising from World War I. Okay, so we're going to do two carols and then Silent Night. We start with "It Came upon the Midnight Clear," one of my favorite carols. I find both the words and the music to be stirring. The author, Edmund Sears, was born in the Berkshires in Massachusetts and was serving as a Unitarian pastor in Wayland, Massachusetts, when he wrote this five-stanza poem in 1849. Dubbed as one of the earliest social gospel hymns written in the United States, Sears' context was the social strife that plagued the country as the Civil War approached. Stanza 3 especially sheds light on the poet's concerns about the specter of war in the mid-19th century. Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the heavenly hymn have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And we at war on earth hear not the tidings that they, the angels, bring. Oh, hush the noise and cease the strife to hear the angels sing. Beautiful and stirring imagery. I mean, think about it. What if the shepherds in the fields had been quarreling so as to miss the angel's song? Sears suggests the same may be happening today. The angels are singing and we don't hear them. Our war and strife serve to drown out their chorus, to which Sears offers a stinging admonishment. Oh, hush the noise and cease the strife to hear the angels sing. Be still and know that I am God. The second carol we consider, though not interestingly included in many carols, is a familiar one. Not included in many hymnals, is a familiar one to most of us, O Holy Night, Cantique de Noël in the original French. The tune and text were composed in the same year and really come from the same 1847 and come from that same era as It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, although it was written in a different country. It was written in 1847 during a time of turmoil in France. The French Revolution was a scant 40 years away. And the poem was adapted in 1855 by Boston-born Unitarian, there's another Unitarian minister who's also a poet, Minister John Sullivan Dwight, who created a singing edition, English edition, based on Capot's French text. Think about it. Similar to Sears in 1849, in 1855, about the time that Sears wrote It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, the country was close to entering a civil war, which would cost millions of lives of American soldiers. Consider the words of the third stanza in the context of this war, with its underlying purpose of abolishing slavery. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. That same verse goes on to proclaim Christ and forevermore, but it's that first part of that carol that is particularly relevant. Politics, even in Christmas carols, Christ sees a brother where the dominant race of the time sees only a slave. Love unites those that iron has chained, and their oppression shall cease. Prophetic lyrics, to say the least. O Holy Night as political protest. A Christmas carol as resistance literature. But when you think about it, is not this how it should be? Advent itself is a call to Christian anarchism, the proclamation of the King of Kings. With the coming of the Christ child, the principalities and powers have been put on notice. There's a reason the powers tried to kill the baby. There are reasons a young pregnant peasant girl once sang, in the words of we know as the Magnificat, that my soul magnifies the Lord. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the humble. and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. The coming of Jesus meant a revolution of love, where the typical order of human power and authority was put on notice. Servanthood, not authority. Compassion, not coercion. Humility, not pride. Love, not hate. Speaking truth to the corridors of power. Revolutionary stuff. The stuff that can get you into trouble, get you killed. And this theme resides in places you may not expect it. Even a few well-loved Christmas carols. And finally, shifting gears a little bit, the story is told that on a crisp, clear morning on Christmas Eve of 1914, a little over 100 years ago, thousands of French, British, and Belgian soldiers put down their rifles, stepped out of their trenches, and spent Christmas mingling with their German enemies along the Western Front. Perhaps you have heard snippets of this story. In the 100 years since, the event has been seen as a kind of miracle, a rare moment of peace just a few months into a war that would eventually claim over 15 million lives. One version of the story has British Lieutenant Charles Brewer slowly raising his head over the soaked sandbags, protecting his position, and through the maze of barbed wire, seeing a sparkling Christmas tree. As the lieutenant gazed down the line of the German trenches, a whole string of small conifers glimmered like beads on a necklace. Brewer then noticed the rising of a faint sound that he had never heard before on the battlefield, a Christmas carol. The German words to Stille Nacht were not familiar, but the tune, Silent Night, certainly was. When the German soldiers finished singing, their foes broke out in cheers. Used to returning fire, the British now replied in song with the English version of the carol. When dawn broke on Christmas morning, something even more remarkable happened. In sporadic pockets along the 500-mile Western Front, unarmed German and Allied soldiers tentatively emerged from the trenches and cautiously crossed no man's land, the killing fields between the trenches littered with frozen corpses, eviscerated trees, and deep craters, to which wish each other a Merry Christmas. Political leaders had ignored the call of Pope Benedict XV to cease fighting around Christmas, but soldiers in the trenches decided to stage their own unofficial, spontaneous armistices anyway. Well, as the sun set on Christmas, the fighters retreated to their respective trenches. A few ceasefires held until New Year's Day, but in most locations, the war resumed on December 26th. And World War I, as you are well aware, lasted about four more years until the guns fell silent with the signing of the armistice in 1918. Again, at the cost of some 15 million lives. But that Christmas Eve experience stands as a highlight to many. In fact, one British soldier confessed in a letter the following day, "I wouldn't have missed the experience of yesterday for the most gorgeous Christmas dinner in England." Well, English singer-songwriter Fiona Bevan released a story, a song, based on this event about 3 years ago, back in 2014, titled, "They Sang Silent Night." The words clearly evoke the ceasefire which took place. Plead for an end to war, but also carries the much wider, poignant reminder that Christmas, at its core, should be a time of family, togetherness, love, and peace. Let's listen, and then we'll sing Silent Night together.
It flies through the house like a hurricane plane. stretched out wide. See, it's all just a game. He plays his toy soldiers and aims with his gun and waits for his father for the war to be won. Tell me it'll be over soon. Tell me it'll be over soon. Like when they sang Silent Night from the battlefield lines. Peace for one night, a ceasefire. Let's sing again all together and send a love to end all wars. Peace time forevermore. Peace time forevermore. Your presence with me. Please come home safely. That's all that we need. The whole world together with their family. Tell me it'll be over soon. Tell me it'll be over soon. Like when they sang Silent Night from the battlefield lines. Peaceful. I love.